Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
One is Mark and John's the other. They're just friends. They are not lovers. It's two old queens. It's two old queens. They're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens. It's two old queens. Now shut up.
Hello.
Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Mark, I'm very excited about our guest this week, but I have a feeling you're even more excited than I am. So please let everyone know who's joining us.
She's a hospice social worker. She's got a blog called hospicefromtheheart.blogspot.com featuring all her poetry. And she's a poet whose book of poetry, From the Heart, you could get on Amazon. And she's my mother.
What?
It's Mary Lou Rennie.
Yay!
Yay! I'm so happy you guys asked me to be here.
Oh, we're so honored that you've decided to join us.
Thank you for, and we're recording on Mother's Day.
That's true.
Did you ever think years ago you'd be recording a podcast with your son on Mother's Day?
No, and I didn't think that a week ago or a month ago either.
Fair enough. I did spring this on you.
Yes, no, but that's okay. I love working with you all.
Oh, you're a wonderful person to work with.
Great collabs. We have hosted shows together. We hosted Mother's Day shows at the UCB Theater together.
That's right. Multiple times, those magnificent moms.
That's right. Now, Mom, do you have any, this is a movie podcast, as you probably know. Do you have any fond memories of going to the movies with us as the kids?
Oh, absolutely. We used to go, you know, but it would be shows that you could laugh at, though I'll never forget Jurassic Park.
Yes.
I get nervous when anybody, I like comedies more, not scary part. And I told you, you had to warn me every time anything was going to happen. And when that dinosaur fell through the roof, I totally jumped in my seat. You couldn't stop laughing.
Yes. It was as if the Velociraptor was coming after your legs.
Yeah.
And you walked out of Indiana Jones and the Temple of the Doom. It was too gory. Remember, we went for like my birthday.
Your birthday. Yeah. And I waited in the lobby because you had kids from your birth. You were like about 10 or something. And you guys all handled it. And I couldn't.
You weren't into that scene where they rip someone's heart out of their chest?
I don't remember that.
I didn't think she got to that. It was the dinner scene.
The snakes, sure.
The snakes and the gross, monkey the brain. Monkey brains and
sure,
all that
sure.
stuff. You've never liked suspense, though. Like, you don't like, in Lord of the Rings, we saw the first one. Like, someone gets, like, their head chopped off. And I remember you went, ugh! There was one time I was with a friend. I am also the only one in the family who likes horror movies. For some reason, I don't know why. I think we could guess probably, but I was watching Carrie with a friend, and like it was at the very end, the climactic scene, and then I think my friend had never seen it before, and then you walked into the kitchen and said like, "Oh, did you see the part where her hand pops out of the grave? Oh, so scary!" And it hadn't happened
yet.
Seconds away from happening.
That's why he doesn't take me to the movies anymore.
That's right.
Makes sense.
Do you you went to Catholic school? Do you have a big affinity for nuns, Mom? Like, do you like nuns?
Sure, they were probably pretty spiritual people, but like the movie Sister Act, because I went to Catholic school, there was one scene when they sang "My God" instead of "My Guy" to it, and I remember I could not stop laughing, and that poor man sitting in front of me, because I could not stop myself, because you could relate to it on a certain level.
What were the nuns like at your like Catholic school?
Pretty strict. It was all academic more. You didn't have cooking classes or acting classes. It was pretty academic. And when I went to public school as a freshman, I was academically a year ahead. And I thought, hey, this is cool.
I can relax this year. Yeah.
I know.
And these kids are like, cool, listening to rock and roll. And that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. John, did you have nuns growing up? Because you're a
Catholic.
Did
we have nuns?
Yeah. Were there nuns in your life?
Well, my mom famously said she was considering being a nun until she met my father.
Oh, captain to your Maria.
To her Maria. Exactly. Indeed. I did not go to Catholic school, so there were not like nuns in my life. But one of my grandfather's cousins was a priest. So anytime we had a family gathering, there was always a priest, usually pretty drunk in the corner for the holidays and whatnot. And his name was Father Hickey, of all things. That was his name.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Now, speaking of nuns, sure, why not? Let's get into it. Today, we're talking about the Sound of Music. John, what's the deal with the Sound of Music?
Mark, let me tell you the deal with the Sound of Music. It was directed by Robert Wise with a screenplay by Ernest Lehman, adapted from the stage musical with a book by Howard Lindsay and Russell Krauss, with music by Richard Rodgers and lyrics by Oscar Hammerstein II, based on the memoir The Story of the Trapp Family Singers by Maria von Trapp. And it tells the heartwarming tale of Maria, a tomboyish postulant at an Austrian abbey who becomes a governess in the home of a widowed naval captain with 7 children. She brings a new love of life and music into the home and finds a way to survive the loss of their homeland to the Nazis. It stars Julie Andrews, Christopher Plummer, Richard Hayden, Peggy Wood, Charmaine Carr, and Eleanor Parker. It was released on April 1st, 1965, and initial reviews were mixed. Pauline Kael called the film the sugar-coated lie people seem to want to eat, claiming audience turned into emotional and aesthetic imbeciles when we hear ourselves humming the sickly goody-goody songs. But despite these reviews, The Sound of Music is one of the most commercially successful films of all time. It was the first movie to gross over $100 million. It broke box office records in 29 countries, including the United Kingdom, where it played for 3 years at the Dominion Theater in London. It was also a major success in the Netherlands, Hong Kong, and Tokyo, where it played for as long as 2 years at some theaters. It was not, however, a universal success. It was a flop in Germany. It was nominated for 10 Academy Awards, winning 5 of them: Best Picture, Best Director, Best Editing, Best Scoring of Music, and Best Sound. And that is the deal with The Sound of Music.
So, Mom, we asked you to pick a movie to discuss, and you chose Sound of Music. Why Sound of Music?
I think because I love the music, the songs, and I love, God, I'm just blanking on her name.
Julie Andrews.
Yeah. I want to say Judy. Like, God, it's so close to this movie. No, but she sings so beautifully. And to me, when you sing words, it gets more passion. It's deeper than if you just verbalize them. And I just am so moved by the pure love of their singing. I don't know. It's touched my heart the moment I first saw it.
Do you remember
that? That was
one
of the first dates I went with your dad on.
Really?
Yeah. But I just embrace it, and it's so beautiful there. And I've been to Austria now, and we did go to that garden area, and it was just so moving. Yeah.
Did you do like a sound? I think there's like a Sound of Music tour.
Yeah, there are.
Did you do that?
No, we didn't do that. We did. If I had known, we didn't do that.
Next time.
So how many times have you seen it, do you think?
Well, I own the movie, so usually I would watch it once a year, so watched it yesterday so I can be up on it. But, every time I watch it, it's like the first time you're watching it. I just love it.
Mm-hmm. Great. John, what do you think of The Sound of Music?
I couldn't tell you the first time I saw it. It's one of those movies that, you know, I'm sure I saw a ton of times as a kid. I think it is, I understand why people think it's sort of like sickly sweet and all that stuff, but I think it is a solid movie. It works really well. I think the filmmaking is great. That opening shot is absolutely incredible. Just like the shot of her, you know, spinning around on the mountaintops. And you're right, her voice is so, it's so pure and it's so effortless that it is just so easy to just sort of like, it's just so like relaxing and warm and wonderful. Yeah, I mean, I think it is sort of cheesy, but I think it's great. I think the score is like all hits. Like there's not a song in that score that you're just like meh about. Like they're all like solid numbers.
Something and good? I think
it's all right. It's not right. The best, but it's not horrible. It's not like a ooh this one. yeah, and I think what I think is funny is in my research in the IMDb trivia. So there was a movie theater, and I believe in Seoul, Korea, that was showing it, because it's a 3-hour movie, they were showing it 3 or 4 times a day. They wanted to find out ways to show it, screen it more because it was so popular. So they edited it and took out all the musical numbers.
Wow.
Oh
like,
my
who cut the Sound of Music for just the book scenes? But but I think it still works. Like it does work really well. And actually,
what do they call it? The Sound of Dialogue?
Yes. The Sound of Scene Changes. But I think, yeah, I think it is a solid movie, even though it is, yeah, I understand it's sort of like cheesy and light and family fare, but I think it's great. How about you, Mark? What is your history with The Sound of Music?
I don't know. I know I've seen it at some point, but I don't think I've seen it in like 30 years, probably. I mean, like the song, like the bangers are like just part of the, you know what I mean? Like you can't escape Do Re Mi.
No.
So I don't think I had ever seen it in widescreen either, or like in HD. And I was like surprised by how like beautiful like the cinematography is, like even the interior scenes, like it's so like stylized and like a really lush, it's gorgeous. And it also weirdly made me like nostalgic for Disneyland. Like I really wanted to go on the Matterhorn after watching it, because that is not the melody, but and then like Reverend Mother's like office is very Haunted Mansion.
Sure. The lighting in that one's a little weird, but yeah.
I loved it. It was so cool. And that puppet show is so Fantasyland.
It's very small.
You know, but, it's just the aesthetics of it all are just like, it scratched like a Disneyland itch for me. And then the fact that I watched it on Disney Plus didn't hurt. Sure. So I thought it was really fun. I thought it was great. Much better than West Side Story. Much less of a slog. I think we can all agree on that.
No.
My mother is nodding her head.
I will not co-sign on that, no.
Yeah.
and also, like, sadly, I loved how, like, anti-Nazi the captain was. Like, he was not, but he's like, no.
Why are you sad?
No.
Why are you sad that you like that?
No, I'm just glad. Like, it wasn't like, it's like, it's sad that that's still relevant, I guess. That, like, yes, we still need to be like, no Nazis. No, we are not budging on this. We are not meeting in the middle on Nazis.
Right.
I'm with the captain on this all the way. As I hope most people are. So, Mom, as you may or may not know, we are looking for the gayest movies ever. So we have a complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge them. So we're going to go through a ton of categories. And at one point, you are going to come up with a category that we can use to judge how gay Sound of Music is in future movies. And it will be added to the wheel. It doesn't make sense right now. Don't worry about it. Just go with it. So this is our current perfect. This is our current top 5 gayest movies ever. This is the current top 5 ranking. So number 5 with an 86.92%, Death Becomes Her. Number 4 with an 89.70%, The Apple. Number 3 with an 89.81%, The Rocky Horror Picture Show. Number 2 with a 92.99%, The Bride of Frankenstein. And number 1, gayest movie ever with a 94.83%, Female Trouble.
So if you had to guess right now, how gay do you think The Sound of Music is?
Oh gosh, because when I'm watching it, I don't even think of that, you know?
Makes sense.
But then, you know, it may be Max, I don't know. that didn't even pop into my head. In fact, 4 of the movies Mark mentioned, I've never heard of. So.
That's okay. Just like my mom the week before.
I know.
Which one had you heard of?
The Rocky Horror.
Yeah. Oh,
I think I even saw that once years and years and years ago.
Really? The year I was born, you went to the movies?
I don't know. I
had a baby at home.
You were born
to midnight.
Born with movie DNA in you. Movie
That's
gene.
True.
It was the last movie you watched before going into labor. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, that makes sense.
No, but I mean, like, I don't know. I would put it probably pretty low as a gay movie because I didn't even think of it. So,
all right.
Which that doesn't mean anything.
I hope you're ready to discuss how gay it is for the next hour, but it'll be fine. All right. So our first group of categories are the canon categories. So for these, we're each going to give it a score between 0 and 100. Then we'll take the average of all three of our scores. So all you have to do, so the first category, how would you rate The Sound of Music on a scale of 0 to 100 in actual gay characters? So who is actually gay, do we think? I do think Uncle Max, for sure.
Uncle Max certainly has that.
Yeah.
He wants to hear the gossip.
Yeah, he works in show business. He manages.
He's booking a show.
Yeah, exactly.
A folk festival.
He's very right brain. Yeah.
Yes. He's got that mustache. I bet some of the nuns are.
They got him.
Well,
were there rumors about the nuns at your school, Mom? Like, did you guys talk
about
that?
Yeah, you know, I haven't thought of that for years, but I think that that conversation did come up now and then when you're going to the school.
Sure. I think some of the nuns, and also Christopher Plummer plays a character whose name is Georg. So he's literally a gay character.
Sure.
His name is Georg von Trapp.
Georg. That's a great website too. Mm-hmm. There was also, what if the butler came off almost like a gay villain to me?
He was a little officious, definitely.
Yeah.
Officious. Mm-hmm. And also there's in the puppet show, two mountain climbers together. What's their story?
That broke back.
And then we see
right
that
there.
Bar. Then we see the bar. The gay bar. Is that a gay bar? It's like three guys sitting around a table and one waiter.
Oh, if there's three guys and one waiter, it's definitely a gay bar.
It's a gay bar.
The math checks out.
So what do you want to give this? You don't for 0 to 100 actual gay characters.
Probably 10.
A 10.
I don't know. I'm not.
That's all right.
There's
that's
no wrong
guess.
Answers.
So you can't do it wrong. You're doing great. I think we got Max. I'm going to say some of the nuns. And again, we got Georg. So I'm going to go 25.
25. I'll go 22. It's this Uncle Mac. He's a pretty big character. Okay. Given an average of 19, which is 10 points higher than I, Tanya, an actual gay character.
Okay.
Pretty good. All right. Our next category, drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch The Sound of Music and come away with a whole book of ideas? I think so.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, she makes fashion out of drapes. If that's Hello? Like not something that like is like, oh yes, inspiration, it's anywhere. And that Baroness,
hello.
She knows her way around a big bow. She every outfit has it's either at the neck or the hip or the shoulder.
A cigarette holder.
Yes.
She's not afraid of accessories.
Yeah, and she'll like play. She'll be shady to save her man. Yeah, the Baroness is definitely up there.
Well, she'll do what she has to do. Yeah,
exactly.
It's all about the money. Yeah.
Well, she's got.
She reminded me of a Crystal Connors from Showgirls. Like her and Maria's relationship was very Crystal Connors and Noni.
A little bit, yeah, sure. You can see that.
Also, Maria's traveling outfit I thought is pretty iconic. A big hat and a guitar case. You know, when she's like, I'm confident. The song
I have confidence,
saying,
confident. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was the outfit the homeless didn't even like.
Yeah, the homeless
yeah,
people
the
didn't,
poor didn't want it.
They couldn't take, they yeah. wouldn't take it.
Right, yeah, one of them said, that's the ugliest dress I've ever seen.
Yeah. I thought her, what do we think of Maria's wedding dress? It looks so like, she looked like, from the top, it looked like a Star Trek Vulcan. Or like, it was so like, that is so 60s looking. It was like, so like,
and her train was 14 feet long.
Oh, clang, clang, clang goes the trolley. Yeah, she's literally dragging it.
There you go.
Also, I thought Fraulein Schlager, the third place winner of the festival, classic like German lady look with like the Princess Leia buns. Mm-hmm.
I remembered that scene very strongly, and I was telling your dad, you know, you got to watch this because she kept bowing. That just made me laugh so hard.
Classic.
You know, even though it's surrounded by Nazis, they're still going to have a little fun in the Sound of Music. And also all the nuns for drag queen inspiration.
You think nuns are inspiration for drag queens?
Absolutely. You okay. don't think so?
Well, I mean, nuns? It's like a look, you know.
Yeah, but they also had that particularly like wrinkled. What do you call
that? I mean, that was definitely like extra, that their sort of headpiece and all the.
Yeah, what do you call? What is the wimple?
The whole thing is called a wimple, but I'm not sure if that headpiece is called something different. But yes, definitely in this, in Sound of Music, those are extra. I've never seen a nun in real life.
You've never seen a nun in real life?
No, I have that level of care taken on their neck pieces.
It was very elevated.
When I went to grammar school, I had the Holy Cross nuns, and they had the big, I guess you're called wimples. I don't even know what it's all called, but they were, it was pretty extensive. But this was in the 60s, you know.
Mm-hmm. What do they do in hot days?
Sweat. There's...
Fair enough.
Nuns are people too.
They don't have like board short versions.
No, it's their outfit is their devotion to God.
Oh, I also thought the captain had this like interesting look, like his like he had like that gray wool jacket, but then with like boots. It was like a suit with like riding boots
that were high.
That's interesting. High boots. Very German or Austrian. Indeed. So what do you want to give this for drag queen inspiration, Mom?
I'll say 25.
25, brutal. Okay.
I think the making fashion out of drapes to me is like a real sort of, because it, even more than that, it sort of shows you like, oh, unconventional materials. Okay, let's see what else we can do. It sort of like inspires you to think of.
I wonder if Maria Von Trapp had seen Gone with the Wind.
I don't know if it had gone what I mean? Yet.
Does that timeline match? It was like 33, wasn't it?
Gone with the Wind in 33? No.
I think so.
Gone with the Wind was like, I want to say 39 or 40. Yeah.
39.
The Wizard of Oz were right together.
That's it. What a year.
What a year. I'll give it a 70 for drag queen inspiration.
Wow.
If you want to change your score, you can.
No.
Don't bully her, John.
I wasn't bullying her. I was informing her of something.
I'm going to give it 75. I think those are pretty fun. Just also, if you had like a bunch of people like dressed as like the kids, you know what I mean? Like that is like, oh, people in like carpet upholstery in the one of their drapes outfits, you know what I mean?
Kind right,
of,
right,
like, oh,
exactly.
It's like they're wearing upholstery clothes.
Mm-hmm, sure.
Giving it a 56.67 in drag queen inspiration. All right. Next category, gay icons. How are the gay icons in Sound of Music? We got Julie Andrews.
Got is Julie she a gay Andrews. Icon? I think so.
Rodgers and Hammerstein?
Yeah. I mean, they're definitely like theater. Yeah, they're huge theater icons. I think even like the Baroness like, brings something.
Oh.
Plummer, I'm not sure.
Does she look familiar?
And Christopher Plummer, you know, sort of famously hated making this movie and sort of hated being a part of it until in his later years, he finally was like, oh, okay, I guess it's a nice thing to be a part of. Which is like, thank you, Christopher Plummer.
But I think that energy works for the movie. I think that's why he's really great in this.
Yeah, I think
he just like kind of being over eye rolling, like,
grounding it and keeping it from being too saccharine.
And apparently the actual Maria Von Trapp was the mean one and the father, Gregor, was like the cool laid back one. According to Wikipedia in the historical accuracy.
Yeah, I've heard that he was kind of dull, is what I've heard.
And they made him more exciting for the movie? It's so weird.
We were in Virginia quite a few years ago, and we went into the Von Trapp store they had, and saw Maria Von Trapp. She had walked in the back. You could see the kitchen area, and she walked by.
Was
it was way exciting. No, she wasn't singing. She was just walking by.
People go dough, and she goes shut up. I don't want to hear
or
it.
She makes bread.
Yeah. Why are they living in Virginia? There you go. They living in Virginia?
Yeah, we were in Virginia. They had a store. I can't tell you where in Virginia, but yeah, they.
I had no idea the Von Trapps moved to Virginia.
I thought they were in. I know they were in Vermont for a while.
Oh, Vermont. Maybe that's where we were.
Different
there
B.
We go.
Yeah.
A different B. Yeah.
Yeah, they ran like a resort in Vermont, like a ski resort, I think. That's sort of where they ended up escaping. That's where they landed.
Yeah, it was Vermont. Yeah.
So do you want to give this for gay icon? Oh, go ahead. You keep going.
I just said edit. Because I said Virginia.
Yeah. So many people will turn this off, right?
That's not where the Von Trapp store is.
This podcast is a lie.
Was there a store called a Tourist Von Trapp?
I have no yeah. idea.
The Von was in parentheses. Yeah.
Yeah. There she goes. She got it.
Okay. I'm a little slow on that one.
It's more of a visual. You got to imagine it yeah. a little bit. So, yeah.
It's like a Simpsons. It feels on the Simpsons. You get it. Yeah. So what do you want to give this for gay icons, Mom?
Okay, I'll go 50. Share. I'm not quite sure how to rate 50. Things, but 50. I'll do 50.
You're doing, just listen to your gut.
You're doing great. I'll go 77.
77. You'll go 70, sure. Given an average of 65.67, which is 16 points lower than anti-MAME. Tough call, tough break. All right. The male gaze. How horny is the camera for the male form? Are the hot guys in this? And now I know you love a Denzel Washington, a Neil Diamond. Those are your hunks. Maybe not so much Neil Diamond anymore.
Well, you know.
I love John Denver. I'm still sad that he died. Yeah.
Well, you designed the plane he flew.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I know.
What do we think of the captain? He's a good looking guy.
He's good looking. They do a couple times he's in some sort of goldeny light. Like you can tell the camera's like meant to be like, okay. It's not a horny movie. It's sort of the
It
issue.
Is not a horny movie. No. Rolf's got some tight pants. Sorry to say it, Mom, but he does. That's about it. But it's very chase. I mean, considering it's Sound of Music.
Exactly.
So what do you want to give this for the male gaze?
Gosh, it's not because it's not too many guys in there too much, huh?
No, not really.
I'll go 40.
40.
Well, I'm not sure what the numbers are. <That's okay. laughs> I'm rating.
Like, who do you like? If it was like a Denzel Washington movie, that might be like 100. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
oh,
there's a good looking guy. So, like, and a zero would be like Donald Trump. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So, like, that's the scale, I would say, probably.
Okay. Well, let me put 65.
65. Okay.
Yeah.
Really like this captain, my captain.
I'm gonna say because they don't do a whole lot. I think with anyone, I don't think it's just they're being disrespectful to men. I'm gonna go 23.
Yeah, I'll go 19. Give an average of 35.67. Remember, this doesn't.
I'm messing up your.
No, you are not messing up.
It's impossible to do that.
It's impossible. Don't you worry. All right, our next category, entrances with pizzazz. Well, I mean, Marie, is that the most pizzazzy entrance ever?
It's up there.
At the beginning?
Yeah, when she's standing on hill, spinning her head off.
Oh, yeah.
Spinning her head off.
Yep.
When her head pops off and just
doing
the
real
music
exorcist.
Just splits.
Yeah. She's got the devil on that mountain.
We got that one. We got when the kids all march in to meet her for the first time.
Yep.
A little military pizzazz.
Marie and the kids on the boat when they're like, hi, and they all fall off having a lot of fun.
I think there was a lot of pizzazz when she was coming back to the convent. She didn't want to come, but to see if she loved him. And when she was walking on the lawn and the kids saw her.
Yep. And they're already singing. And then
running.
It becomes,
I thought that was really pizzazz. I like
definitely.
That.
I thought the winners of the festival get like literal fanfare and spotlights like do.
There's that.
That's pure pizzazz.
There's also the whole song, I Have Confidence. It's her coming to the house for the first time. Yeah. She's got a whole production number.
I thought the captain singing, like he sings his entrance, like when the kids are singing, he like sings and kind of like takes over the song. Kind of rude if you ask me.
But he's been reborn.
That seemed like something.
When he sang Edelweiss at the end, that was really moving.
Yeah.
John, I feel like singing like into a room is like how all the Flynns come home for Christmas. Like you're hearing carols inside.
I love this image you have of my family of just constant singing.
They're constant caroling. That's did you know that about the Flynns, Mom?
No, I did not.
We're not the
we'll
Rennies.
We'll have
don't
you
really
over for the holidays sometime.
We'll have to take some vocal lessons before we come over.
The only place I sound great singing is in the car.
Sure. Perfect. You can just drive around.
So what do you want to give this for entrances with pizzazz?
I think it's great. So I'm going to say 80.
80.
I'm going to say 80 as well.
Wow. These are, I think, just for that opening shot is like the most iconic entrance ever, I would say. I'm going to give it 100.
Wow. Okay.
And also there's others after that. You know what I mean? So it's not just that one either. So I'm giving it 100, giving it an average of 86.67, which is 3.34 points higher than the Beastmaster.
Okay.
All right. All right. Our next category, Hell on Heels. Now this is like feisty women, like women who ain't going to take no guff. Like Flo from Alice.
Yeah, you know, a real kiss my grits kind of category.
Yeah, real kiss my grits kind of ladies.
Well, we got the Baroness.
Yes. Liesel is a little sassy at the beginning. Like, yeah, I don't need, a governess. Rude.
I think the nuns, especially that how do you solve a problem like Maria?
Who's the one who doesn't like her? Sophia?
Most of them kind of have issues with her, but yeah.
One is maybe a little too into her.
A little too into discipline, perhaps.
I did think it was funny when Maria made all the children cry at dinner.
Oh yeah.
I was like, oh, Maria's not like a pushover, you know, she's not like super like a saint,
right?
I thought that was fun.
One of my favorite scenes is that at the end when the two nuns took the parts out of the car and they go, yeah. I have sinned.
That's a good one.
That was actually a change that they made from the stage version. In the stage version, Rolf doesn't like call them out when the captain says, you know, like confronts him and says like, let us go. He does. He lets them go. He says to the Nazis, oh, there's nobody here.
Oh, interesting.
What else? Oh, also the Baroness convincing Maria to become a nun, to go back to the nunnery is like, yeah, that's pretty a pretty shady. Strong power move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just, she's real subtle about it.
Very subtle. She's a master.
Mm-hmm. It's not her first time.
No.
So what do you want to rate this for Hell on Heels?
Oh, they're very powerful. I got to go 85.
85. Some of the bitchiest women ever put to film. The Sound of Music.
I can so relate.
You spent some time with some nuns before.
Yeah, yeah. The student has become the master.
I think even though there are these moments, I think overall, like even the Baroness, like when she realizes that she's lost, she's sort of like, okay. So I'm going to give it a 60.
In my memory, I thought like the Baroness became like full Nazi at the, I might've been confusing this with Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
I think you might have
been. When
the
blonde lady becomes like, is like pretty and nice, then you find out, oh, she's a full Nazi at the end. So in this, mm-hmm. I was like, well, the Baroness, she's like a full Nazi at the end. And like,
no,
we're going to see her gunned down, I think. So, but nope, that's another movie. I'll give it a 55. Giving in an average of 66.67, which is 10 points lower than Best in Show. You like that movie, Mom?
Well, that was what, the dog show?
Yep.
And he had two left feet. I just remember that.
All right.
Well, that show was funny.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Not very gay, though. Or is it? Was it? I forget where it was. Anyways, our next category, macabre. How macabre is the Sound of Music?
It's not really, but there are Nazis.
There are Nazis. I mean, it's not, it's like more like, considering like people think it's so sickly, saccharine, sweet, it's almost like, oh, this is like the family version of Cabaret in a way, like just the encroaching Nazi-ness of it all.
Yeah.
And like just opening the titles of Salzburg, Austria in the last golden days of the 30s. That sounds like, well, some bad stuff's about
tipping their hand. Sure.
Tipping their hand.
Well, the part when they were leaving to go, they were going to escape. And then the guys showed up in the two cars in front of their house. And then they said, we're going to the theater. That was a little intense. You know, they just saw the power of the Nazis.
When you saw that in the theaters, did like people scream? Like when the headlights came on?
No.
It wasn't like you in Jurassic Park, you know.
Yeah. No. I stayed quiet. Yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
I didn't jump in my seat.
Good. Hiding out in a graveyard? Pretty macabre.
Sure.
Yeah.
Dead mother? like you, the band in rooms in the mm-hmm. house feels macabre-ish, wanting everyone to be German. A thunderstorm. Eileen Hitler. True. And also, I also thought there's something macabre about Edelweiss. Like, it sounds like the lyrics are very sweet, but the melody is like kind of sad, and like it sounds like a goodbye, which there's a haunting element to it.
That is the last song that Oscar Hammerstein wrote lyrics to before he died.
Really?
Well, there you go.
Wow.
Well, that's macabre.
So his last lyric was "Bless my homeland forever," and then he died.
He killed
nine
himself?
Months later. No. Oh. No.
He died in childbirth.
Yes, he died in childbirth.
Also, I thought being forced to kiss the Baroness was macabre. Like, nobody was enjoying that.
Oh, the kids?
The kids didn't want it. Yeah. She didn't want it.
She was fully planning on, once she got married, sending them off to boarding school.
She couldn't get them out. Or to the nunnery, whichever is open.
Nunneries don't take children, but sure.
Lisa, 16 going on 17, close enough. We can forge some documents.
She's mature. Yeah.
So, what do you want to give this for macabre?
Ooh, maybe 55.
I think, despite all those things, this is not a macabre movie. I'll give it a 10.
10? Oh. I mean, I'm going to give it a 45. I mean, the Nazis of it all. Giving it a 36.67, which is 5 points lower than Waiting for Guffman. All right, our next category, dramatic lighting. What do we think of the lighting? How's it all look? Well, those hills. I thought the cinematography was amazing. Also, the fact that so much of it is on location just makes everything look so much elevated. Just like the Do Re Mi sequence at the beginning, just those hilltops. It's like looking at a fairy tale.
Oh, 100%. I wouldn't say that's lighting though.
Cinematography.
Sure. But lighting wise, I thought Mother Abbess's office was sort of, there was a lot of shadows they were going in and out of. And one thing I also learned is, so like when she starts the song, she like turns to that like that stained glass window that is glowing. And the reason why is because she was lip syncing, which everyone did, but she had a hard time. Like, what's tough with lip syncing is like finding out when it's starting and sort of matching it. So they had her face away from it when the song starts. So once the number starts, she can turn around because like, you know, like she's locked into it. But it looks like very like singing to God and like evoking, you know, like that at the beginning of it. So like becomes this sort of like a happy accident, you might say.
I would think sounds like you're saying it.
Yeah, I am saying it. I might say it, no, and I did say it.
But that's so true because it almost seemed too dark at the beginning. But then when she was singing, the light came through. It was more impressive then.
That's God
of the
for
darkness.
You.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's God for you.
He's a real drama queen.
Talk about entrance with pizzazz. There's the glow of the gazebo. I thought the whole 16 going on 17. There's parts where like they're only in silhouette, which I thought looked really cool. Like it wasn't just overlit. Oh, also dramatic, the flashlight in the grave. That's dramatic. Like, can't be seen by the flashlight.
Right. And also at the festival with the spotlight.
Yeah.
Literally dramatic lighting.
I think the cinematography of this is great. I'd had no idea like this was going to look as good as it did. So that was like a really nice surprise.
I believe cinematography was one of the things it was nominated for, but didn't win.
This is true. So what do you want to give this for dramatic lighting?
Oh, it's hard to know. 45.
45. You hate The Sound of Music.
I have no
idea. I'll give it a 65.
65. You know, I'm going to give it an 80. I think it's really great. I think it's a lot more stylized than I thought it was going to be, which I really appreciated. That Robert Wise, pretty good.
Yep.
Took him with
a part of me, I want to give everything 100 because I just love the movie.
You would not be the first guest to do so. Oh. You can skew. that is not.
You can
wrong.
Play to win if you wish.
All right. Our next category, vibrato.
So in addition to literal vibrato, we also mean for this category, anytime they do something a little extra, they zhuzh it up, give you more than you need, but you like it. So I would say like an example of that would be, as we talked earlier, like the nun's wimples with all the very immaculate, pristine folds in it. But also
we love an extra wimple.
Oh, yes, queen. but I mean, all the singing in this, I mean, this is just off the charts.
Off the charts vibrato. Also, like, don't you think like these nuns being married to God is a little bit much? Like, you're married to God. Okay. It's just a little extra, right? Isn't all of Catholicism kind of extra?
Sure. Sure, Mark.
A bit much.
Also, the in those days, that's how it was. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We're like, now nuns dress normal. You don't even know they're a nun. You know what I mean?
Anyone. Yeah,
they're anywhere. They're all anywhere. Over.
Yeah. They look
terrified.
Like the rest
can't
of
be
us.
Safe.
No, you might get a ruler to the back of the hand when you least expect it. I also thought like the production values of this puppet show the kids just like threw together.
I know,
incredible.
Insane.
But I'm so glad it was like it's like I don't if I'm watching Sound of Music, I don't want to see like what children would actually do for a puppet show. Give me the movie version.
Right, right.
Like, so much more satisfying.
Well, another thing, another change from the stage version is so the song "My Favorite Things," Maria actually sings that with Mother Abbess in the stage version. And then that scene where she sings "Favorite Things" with the kids with the storm, that's where they sing "Lonely Goat Herd." That's like the song she sings to sort of like cheer them up and relax them in the middle of the thunderstorm.
So why does she sing "Favorite Things"? Because Mother Abbess is scared of a thunderstorm?
No, they're just singing, like they're just bonding in the beginning.
Hey, what are you into? Into? Like that kind of thing.
Yeah. Mark, I don't know why you haven't written a musical, because the way you transition from speech to song is pretty flawless.
I don't know either. I'm ready, Andrew Lloyd Webber, if you want to team up.
But yeah, I think a puppet show on stage would not have the effect that you can have in the movie.
Great. All the whistle stuff, it's pretty extra.
That's true.
Do re mi.
Yeah.
Pretty fun.
It's literal vibrato. They're singing.
Yeah. And just the fact that how they do in the montage style is really great.
Yeah.
That church decor was wild, where they get married. Like the floor had like engravings. I'd be like, are you allowed to walk on that? You know what I mean? Because like, wouldn't it get rubbed? You probably can't anymore, I bet. Like they can't let tourists in there. They'd get worn down.
I'm sure they do something to it. But I mean, that was sort of the point of churches, was to overwhelm people who went to them, to be so like, be like, oh my God, this is proof that God exists, because this huge overwhelming temple to them. So like,
and now
churches
you can see
were very
Godzilla
extra.
And IMAX. It's the same thing.
Like, exactly.
Top that church.
That is your church, though. You know.
Yeah, I just saw King Kong punch Godzilla through a skyscraper. What's this about Jesus? bit of a letdown. Mm-hmm. I'm not really grabbing people anymore. So, Mom, what do you want to give the Sound of Music for vibrato?
I'm not quite sure what bravado means. It's like they kind of go over a little bit more than most. Or
yeah, vibrato also literally means like when you're singing, it's sort of like the voice,
it
sort
John.
Of vibrates a little bit.
Do it.
It's someone who would like a very clear example, someone like Ethel Merman, because she has that like,
oh, okay.
No,
yeah.
You know, like it's sort of like she's hitting the note, but she's giving a little more, you know.
Do it, John.
There's no business, like, you know. You
all right, we got it.
I will say
I'll
this.
I'll give you an 80.
Thank you. Oh, wonderful. I'm going to give this 100 on vibrato, because for the singing and then all the extra stuff we've mentioned, I think you kind of can't do more so than this. That's my score.
I think so, too, because every song I feel is that way.
Yeah.
You know, that's what makes it so beautiful.
I'm also going to give it 100. Give it 100. Has Julie Andrews ever put out like pop albums? Like, has she ever?
She has not. No, I don't think that's like her vocal style.
She never like teamed up with.
Unlike Ethel Merman, she never tried
Giorgio
to do a disco
Moroder.
Album. No.
All right, our next category might do well here. Footwork. How would you rate the footwork in this?
I mean, there's tons of dancing.
The dancing is so good. Mm. It's like the kind of dancing that looks like simple. But,
well, sure.
I mean, the choreography is like, oh, that's got to be a nightmare, especially with like 7 kids to get all this down.
Oh, kids can pick up choreography like nothing. They're
like
little sponges.
Cats.
They love it. No.
Children love choreography. Is that
absolutely.
What you're
saying? Yes.
There are children love rules. I also thought Julie Andrews, whenever she runs, she is like hustling. She's like pumping her leg.
She's getting her cardio and running with that guitar case. But just at the beginning, like running through nature, she's singing Sound of Music, running through the town with the do re mi. Yeah, this movie is full of dancing and footwork.
Well, even when at the party he had, that first party, and they were dancing out on the patio.
The waltz. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the two of them. That was kind of cool.
That was very nice. The kids marching, 16 going on 17. And that kid bell ringing.
Oh, yeah.
I wrote that down and I don't remember what I'm talking about.
He was holding onto the bell and it was
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he was going up on the thing.
The kid was going nuts. Where's that workout? I go to that
the bell workout. Sure.
The bell workout. So what do you want to give this for footwork?
I think they did good. I'll say 90.
90.
I'm going to go 98 only because, and the only reason it's not 100 because there's no tap number.
Sure. the Nazis would have.
Yes.
The Auscher Schloss rag, maybe something like that. I'll give it 92. Give an average of 93.33. All right. Our next category, spank bank deposits. Now, in this category, Mom, we mean like... like any like images you would like save to remember in your alone time. Does that make sense? You get what I'm saying. Okay. You're nodding. Yes. Okay, great.
Yes. I think, yeah. Well, it's like it's a lot of places you could go meditating or something. That's true. on the hills, you know, of Austria.
Exactly what we're talking about.
That is 100%. We're talking like, you know, you see like George Clooney, like, oh, that's a handsome fellow with his shirt off. I'll remember that for later. Different kind of memory.
Okay, dope.
Yeah. Okay.
We hadn't thought about this category when we thought about inviting our mothers on this podcast. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
But here we are
having this awkward conversation, and it's fine. Everyone's fine.
Flick.
Somehow we lost your mother's connection.
Okay. Yeah. And I can't come home for Christmas?
You can come to our house, Mark, but you're going to have to learn some carols.
Oh, la, 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 la. You guys do all the 12 days of Christmas? Can we cut it off at 6?
No, we do 14. There's more of us. We need to have our own day.
Everyone needs to have two verses.
Ba-dum-bum-bump.
That's all said. This is pretty light on spank bank deposits, I would say. There's not a lot.
No, there really isn't.
Just the captain. He was wearing like heavy make. He was only like 35 when he did this.
Yeah, 70.
But he looks a lot older.
He did look older because she was probably like that age too, like 30 or something. She looked a lot younger than him.
Yeah. So what do you want to give this for a spank bank deposits, Mom? Sentence I never thought I'd say.
And now it's recorded for eternity.
Maybe there was a guy in the crowd. I'll say 5. I have no idea.
That's John's
logic. I was listening to the music. Yeah,
that's who could think about such puerile things.
Yeah, I'll go 5 as well. Maybe a Rolf. I don't know, but not really. I mean,
a Rolf in the hay.
Sure.
I'll also give it a 5. Giving it a 5, which is 1 point higher than Lady Bird. Okay.
All right.
All right. Next category. This is the last of the canon categories. On a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend The Sound of Music to a gay person? So you find out someone's gay and they tell you, I haven't seen The Sound of Music.
Then I'd say you need to watch it.
Fair enough.
Is there anything that would prevent you from saying, like any sort of question you would ask them first or any sort of thing you would assess about them before saying you have to watch it?
No.
I hate whistles.
You know, I don't know. I think it's so individual. If someone said I hate musicals, then I'd say, well, then maybe you might not want to watch it.
You'd be like, are you sure you're gay? Okay.
Yeah. So what do you want to give this for likely to recommend to a gay person?
100.
100.
Yeah, I think even though like I could see someone being very like if someone was very like a jaded cynical person who'd just be like, oh, it's this, I would still be like, it's a pretty classic movie, it's pretty iconic, it's a reference that you should at least know. I'll give it a 99.
A cautious 99. I'll give it a 95. You know, it's a little long, but it goes by fast. I did
the cardinal sin of Mark Redding.
Well, it's just not that easy. It's like, it's 3 hours. There is an intermission, which I appreciate. And the Disney Plus version includes the intermission. So I got up, made some quick lunch. And it was great.
Stretch your legs.
Stretch your legs.
He loved Reader's Digest. Yeah, right. Yeah.
I got other things to do. Come on.
What are we doing? stories from the military. Was that? They had a section about that. All right. Now we're into the wheel category.
So these categories are all categories that previous guests have brought in. So we've put them all on this wheel, which is an app on my phone, and we're going to spin it four times. Whatever category randomly pops up, that's how we will judge the movie. And after that, you will come up with a category, which we will add to the wheel. Remember when we talked about that earlier? It's all making sense right now. Don't worry about that. We can all talk about it together. It's going to be fine.
It's going to be fine. It's spinning. We're going to find out. There we go.
DIYing your clothing.
DIYing your clothing. Well, making your own clothing.
Yeah. How much do you sort of take clothes and do? I mean, she, iconic.
She made 7 or 8. Did she make one for herself too? I don't remember.
She didn't make one out of that, but they did bring her bolts of fabric at the beginning to make her own clothes.
That's right. That's right. And who makes nuns' clothes?
I guess you just order them. Where from the nun catalog.
Is there a wholesale?
Probably.
Nuns Unlimited?
Yep.
Wimple Incorporated.
TJ Nun.
Habit Hut?
There you go. Then we found it. That's the one.
Okay.
That was a good one. That's a good one. You get points for that one.
Thank you.
You get an 80 for that one, Mark.
Yeah.
Woohoo.
I mean, I think her making clothes out of the curtains is iconic. Like, this is pretty up there.
And it seems to be not the only clothes she has ever made in her life. No. She's got a history of it.
She knows how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I always think of Carol Burnett. Did you see that show? kept the rod in and it had the drapes.
I just wonder, is that a thing that used to be a bigger thing? You know what I mean?
Like, it used to be more common that women would make, like, you would buy like patterns and stuff like that and make your own clothing. That was much more common.
So what do you want to give this for DIYing your clothing?
Because they did it more than most movies, didn't
this
they?
This is true.
Yeah.
So certainly, maybe 80.
80. Yeah.
I'm going to go 90. Well, I think it's so iconic and it's something that's so a reference that everyone gets.
I totally forgot she did that. Like, I thought it was only Gone with the Wind. It made clothes from drapes is all I remembered. So I'll give it an 84. Give it an 84.67. Our wheel category 2. When I was in musicals, my mom used to have the neighbor make my costumes.
Oh, you're like, I'm not doing it. You can do the musical, but I'm not making anything.
We got married in October, and in December, his dad bought me a sewing machine because he thought, well, all women, don't they sew? I can't put a button on. I mean, you know what I mean? I put it on, and there's a huge knot in the back, and it falls off. And I even went to Singer and took a class. It was awful. I have no idea where that sewing machine is now, but it's long gone.
Plenty dust.
I went to my neighbor. Can you? And she would whip them out and like, 30 minutes and then I'd buy her lunch, you know.
Perfect. Everybody wins.
Yeah.
Shout out to Jane Ginger, House of Jane.
Okay, not so lucky on this one. The male V.
The male V. Now, this is a very particular part of the, why am I explaining this? The male anatomy, just like a real, like a swimmer will have, like, you know, long the side of his belly button, I guess, like
sort of where the abs, as we lead into the hips, as it were, as we go.
A real lean guy will have that.
Yeah, like think Brad Pitt in either Thelma and Louise,
or
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood when he's on top of the roof. Yeah,
yeah.
Either say one thing,
and either this.
That's your storytelling training. Come in, because you had us on the edge of our seat.
Thank you. Listen, tease them a little bit.
I don't think there's not one shirtless person in this.
No, there isn't.
It's impossible. Although there are two statues.
All right.
There's that one like leaning, like pointing over, like it's like an archway kind of.
Sure.
Like,
okay.
There is that one.
Okay.
That's something. And there's like a Rips. He's a pretty beefy statue.
I mean, it's a statue. People tend to
it's idealized.
I guess it's easier to sculpt that than
yeah. I see the Statue of David and go, must be nice. I wasn't made by Da Vinci or whoever made the statue. Michelangelo, one of them. I should not be on your Trivial Pursuit. So what do you want to give this for the male V, Mom?
I didn't even, like you said, I don't even remember the statue that way. So probably a 5.
A 5.
I'll go 5 for the statue as well. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm also going to go five. Five for the statue. Did you see any, did you recognize any sights from the movie when you went to Austria?
Where that garden where they dance in the circle.
Oh, yeah.
We were in there. And that's the only thing we really saw. But just even the mountains and the, you know, scenery is just beautiful. You know, the trees and the hills and the mountains.
Did it still look like that pretty much? Like it wasn't like a Jamba Juice everywhere?
No, but when you look in the hills, you know, it's like a regular, you know, it probably, I'm sure, has expanded since the movie was made, you know.
There's a Best Buy now.
Yeah, probably Starbucks in every corner, you know.
Okay, this one is going to be tough as well. Angry phone hangups.
Angry phone hangups.
They talk about phones. I don't think we ever see them.
Could you say,
I'm listening,
when the telegram is kind of a version of a phone from the third, like taking the telegram from Rolf. Isn't the captain like kind of just like take it from him, like get at it, I got the message.
I think we could get some points for that, definitely.
That could be a hang up. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think sort of similarly, spiritually, it was like when he comes home and there is that Nazi flag and he just tears it down and rips it.
Yep.
There's something about that, I mean, it's definitely angry.
He's not taking the call.
And he's something that was hung up has been taken down. So 2/3 of this category have been met.
That was powerful, yeah.
The captain has a hang up about music in the home. And he's pretty angry about it.
And don't go in that room.
Yeah, he's got some hang ups. And he's angry about them. Very loose.
And he will communicate them like a phone. So
yes.
Operator.
So what do you want to give this for angry phone hangups?
Well, like maybe 15.
15.
I'll go 10.
10. I'm going to go 15 as well. Is there even a phone in this movie?
That's what I was wondering.
I don't think we ever see it, but Max talks about calling all these different places. And then they make the joke of like, oh, you did it on Georg's phone. He said, yes, of course. How else could I afford it? It's like phones existed at this time.
It was like a luxury.
Yes.
It's like having your own sauna or something.
That's exactly what it was like. Yeah, it was the sauna of the day.
Wheel category number 4.
Okay, butter zone, big swings with slang.
Did they make up any slang? Were there any made up words in this? Do re mi?
I mean, they do sort of say within the song, like, but it doesn't mean anything. And she says, so we make up words, one word for each note.
I think do re mi is kind of like making up. Well, and it is iconic now.
It is iconic, but that this movie did not make up those terms.
It didn't make up do re mi?
No, those existed beforehand.
Well, it is a big swing to make a song out of it.
Sure.
It's not a real slangy move. Everything's very like proper, this whole movie. When Maria is like the most rough around the edges person in the whole movie. I don't think that's about it. So what do you want to give it for the butter zone?
Probably 5. Just low. Yeah.
I mean, there's also the yodeling and Lonely Goat Herd, which is sort of like a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Is there anything my favorite things? No, we knew of copper kettles beforehand. I'll go.
You did.
Well, my grandfather's other cousin, who was not a priest, he did invent copper kettles. I'll give it a 7.
A 7. I'll give it a 9 for Do Re Mi. A big swing making a song out of it. Give it an average of 7. All right, Mom, the time has come for you to come up a category that we can use to judge how gay The Sound of Music is and all future movies as well. Because this category will be added to the wheel, as you've seen.
Nuns with an attitude.
Nuns with an attitude. I think that works.
Or maybe like nasty nuns.
Sister Act. Yeah.
How about Sister Acts? Nuns with an attitude.
Axe is AXE.
Oh, yes.
Sister ass.
That too.
I am going to hell. No.
You'll have a lot of great company.
Yeah. No. All right. Nuns with an attitude. So, what do you want to give Sound of Music for Sister Axe? Nuns with an attitude.
Probably 20.
20.
I mean, you've got the song, How Do You Solve a Problem Like Maria, where they're all just being shady.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
also they sing at her wedding as in like, excuse me, that's really rude.
Oh, yeah, they literally, imagine you're walking down the aisle, someone calls you a clown.
Yeah. Flippity
Gibbet.
That is
rude.
No, but it was cute because they'd say bad things when she was first out on the hills, and then they'd say something sweet. You right. know,
some of them would. Yeah,
they did both. Yeah.
During the weddings, the nuns were like kept behind a cage, like they weren't allowed in the chapel. Like they were like feral, like beasts.
Yeah, I thought the same thing.
And that's the only people Maria knows.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, nuns would just be like clamoring to catch the bouquet. So you have to sort of keep them back.
A lot of elbows being thrown.
Yeah. Real tough if they're nuns at a wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just throw the rosary beads to like hope other people will trip and fall on them.
Real Crystal Connors move.
Exactly, yeah.
They throw rosary beads.
John, what do you want to give this for Nuns with an Attitude, Sister?
I will give it, because there's a bunch, and also, I mean, she's trying to be a nun. I'll go 66.
66. And also, they do like eco-terrorism like tactics, like sabotage the cars, the Nazis' cars. That's there got attitude. I'll give it a 55, giving it an average of 47. All right, now we are into the bonus category.
So these categories are just bonus. So if it doesn't do well in any of these categories, it's not going to work against the movie. These are just extra points that the movie gets, and we're scoring it from 0 to 10.
Okay.
All right. So the first one, on a scale of 0 to 10, how would you rate The Sound of Music in musical potential? Do you think The Sound of Music could make a great musical?
Well, that's got to be a 10.
Yeah, I would say, yeah.
Like, duh. Yeah.
Have you ever seen it on stage, like a stage version of it?
No, I haven't. That would have been wonderful.
Do they still do it?
Yeah, people do. Do they still do it? I mean, not in the past year and a half, probably. But yeah, it's one of the more successful shows.
Have you seen it, John?
I have. There's a couple of differences. Like, a couple high schools did it. My mom actually was in it in her high school. But there's actually two numbers that Max and the Baroness sing in the stage musical. And there are two songs in the movie that I Have Confidence is not in the stage musical, and neither is the song Something Good, the song that Maria and the Captain sing later. Those two are added for the movie. So there's a bunch of changes. But yeah, I mean, it's a 10.
A 10. I mean, yeah, you got to give it a 10. I think it'd make a great stage musical. Seems very easy to translate.
It was that first.
All right, our next category, queer menace. Are there any queer menaces in this? Well, I do think there's something the Baroness has, like, kind of a queer energy, especially the scene when she's in Maria's, like, bedchamber, like, helping her change. That was the most, that's what made me first initially think of Showgirls, Crystal Connors and Nomi it was almost like an inversion of that.
Gotcha. I don't feel like the Baroness, definitely there's a menace to her. I don't think of her as queer, though. Even though, like, I get that you could easily have a drag queen play the Baroness and no one would sort of bat an eye. I would say Rolf is kind of a queer menace.
Oh, you think? A little too eager to be a Nazi?
Universally, Rolf is always a bottom.
John,
well,
please.
He changed. He changed so rapidly.
Yes.
He's a verse bottom.
Yeah.
But that's about it, though, right?
I mean, you think like music is sort of, Captain Von Trapp thinks music is a menace and there's something sort of queer about that, then it's kind of weak.
The nuns, that one nun who doesn't like Maria. Sophia, she does make her lick the floor.
That's weird.
Which is very weird. She mentions, like, the nun, Sophia made me lick the floor. What are you talking? Like, that's abuse.
I didn't
that's
catch
not okay.
That.
No one bats an eye. Like, well, that's what she does.
Well, they're not.
She likes
do?
To watch people lick the floor. I think that's a queer menace, if you ask me. But then she has an arc, and then I think she's the one who helps, like, disable the car.
She's one of the ones, yeah.
She comes around. She probably hopes. Well, maybe the captain will have her licking the floors in the future.
Oh boy.
So what do you want to give this for a queer menace?
Maybe 15.
It's a 0
to
10.
10.
Oh, 3.
A 3.
I'll go 1.
It's hard
after
to
all
know.
That, John, I'm going to give it a 3. Why not? Giving it a 2.33. All right, the next category. Character actress makes a big swing. Not just the nuns, I felt like. There's like, those are all the character actresses. They're having fun. But that's about it. There's not a lot of, despite all the ladies in the movie, maybe the lady goats and the puppets?
at some of the, because they are marionettes, they are sort of swinging.
There's court of swinging.
Sure, okay.
And they got a lot of character.
So much.
But there's not a lot of, it's not a lot of like big, huge performances in this movie.
Right.
It's all pretty like.
Do you know who I think it probably works the most for this is the woman who we talked about earlier who bows all the time. Like that's a big choice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She's
I think,
fun.
Yeah.
A real Anessa Frantowski. You don't know her mom, but she's
yes,
a friend of ours.
100%. Yes.
But sometimes I have a feeling they told her just to do it 3 times and she had so much fun. She did it like 10. You know, I have a feeling that might be.
She's like, the crew was laughing, so I just kept doing it.
Yeah. I'll go until they tell me cut. So what do you want to give this for? Character actress makes a big swing.
Maybe 3. I don't
know. Yeah. 3. Yeah. I'm going to go 2 for that lady bowing. Whatever her
name is, Fraulein or
whatever. Yeah.
She steals the show. Giving an average of 2.33. All right, next category: witches. How witchy is this movie? Any witches in this witch energy? I did think putting frogs in pockets is kind of witchy.
A little bit, sure.
Like who has access to frogs? And the nuns are like good witches, kind of. You know, the silhouette is very witchy, and like all the black. Magic objects, rituals,
evoking spirituality. Sure, sure.
Yeah, it's just a different. They're instead of worshiping nature, they're worshiping Jesus. Same thing. Mm-hmm. They're like Catholic witches.
Okay,
what is a nun if not a Catholic witch?
All right, that is not an official dual queen statement.
Witch is not a slur. That is an official dual queen statement.
That
which is
that I will co-sign, yes.
Not a very witchy movie.
No.
Halloween, Mom, you're not a fan of Halloween. True?
True. I wrote a paper in undergrad school about what you didn't like, and I wrote about Halloween.
The gayest holiday of all. Okay.
Is it a gay holiday?
Some people say, because it's sort of like, for a lot of young kids, it's like an excuse to like be weird or go out there, you know, to sort of be out there.
Dress how you want for
the
first time.
There's that. I think there's that element that people like about it.
So what do you want to give this for witches?
It's okay if it doesn't do well, because these are bonus categories. So it's not going to like negatively impact the
score. Yeah, but I'll just say 1. If you have to give some, yeah.
I'll go 1 as well.
I'll also go 1, giving it a 1. All right, our next category, gay actors playing gay roles. Well, Uncle Max, played by Richard Hayden, he was gay.
That
actor in real life, yeah.
Okay.
On OutMagazine.com, he lived a quiet personal life and was well known in Hollywood for his cherished and lavish flower gardens, which he tended at his Beverly Hills home.
Well,
so
I
there
mean,
you go.
That's how you came out in those days. You had a flower garden.
You made a flower garden. Enough said, they would say. So the one gay role is pretty much played by a gay actor. Pretty good. That doesn't happen in movies from the 2000s.
That's true.
But I wonder if the Baroness is gay.
The actress was not.
Oh, okay.
She fell in love with one of the camera guys during filming and they ended up getting married.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, isn't that sweet?
Yeah, good thing she didn't marry the captain.
Yeah.
So what do you want to give this for gay actors playing gay roles? There is one.
That's a rare one.
Mm-hmm. So we should I'll put a 2 because I liked him.
A 2?
I'll go 3.
3?
Well, he's never officially out.
But for the ninth, for Sound of Music, what they couldn't like this is what more do you need? He's called Uncle Max and is seemingly not related to anybody. I'm giving this an 8. He's coded gay and he's played by a gay actor. What more does this movie have to do? I'm giving an average of 4.33. All right, might make up some points here and appropriate for today. Themes of mothers. How would you rate The Sound of Music on themes of mothers? How much does it make you think about motherhood, being a mom?
Well, a lot, because Maria and her relationship, and then when you see the Baroness with the kids, like playing ball and all that.
She is
super awkward.
struggling.
Yeah, I mean, all the kids want to have a mother figure in their life.
And also, there's a reverend mother.
Oh, yeah.
Peggy Wood. Thank you.
Thank you, Peggy Wood. your next one man show, I believe.
I just can climb every mountain for 30 minutes. Just keeps building another key change.
He just keeps naming more mountains.
I will climb a mountain, do a little seed, and then another one. I gotta climb that one next.
Yeah, but you could do it with that song too. You yeah, know absolutely. What I mean? Yeah. You could sell it. Yeah.
John at his peak, you might say.
That's what I hope our reviewer says, because imagine that quote on the postcard.
John at his peak. His friend Mark. On top of a mountain. So what do you want to give this for themes of mothers?
Oh, a 10.
A 10.
I'll go 9.
9. I'll give it a 9, sure. Give it a 9.33. All right, next category, pearl clutching. Now, this is like, how many people are like morally scandalized? Well, isn't that what How Do You Solve a Problem Like Maria?
Yeah, that's
is all about.
I think so.
Or is nuns rosary clutching? Yeah, they don't clutch their pearls. No. They clutch their rosaries.
You could have rosaries made of pearls, I think.
You don't wear rosaries around your neck, do you?
You can.
Can you?
Yeah, people do.
I always thought they were like wrapped around your fists.
Most people like hold them and carry them because it's like a thing that attitude. You do to like pray, but you can wear them.
Is pearl clutching, would we think the Baroness in regards to like the children playing? She's kind of not into it. It's not really scandalized.
It's scandalized. She's sort of over it.
Yeah.
But the kids are doing it so she can't catch it. I think they're doing that on purpose too, though.
Yeah. Yeah. They're a shady bunch of kids. You know, they're not, they're putting frogs in people's pockets and pine cones and spiders in their bed. I'm sure a lot of people at the show when the Von Trapps were missing were like, oh my goodness, at the festival.
It's those awful children who terrorize everybody.
Or when they do the number, like, oh, we've never been to a party where the kids do a closing number. Oh, that's not real.
Well, they haven't been to the Flynn's at Christmas.
Well, yeah.
Would you guys do that, saying goodnight to the dinner party?
No, our stairwell there wasn't good sight lines.
I see.
The lighting.
I remember
the lighting, yeah, wasn't good.
Bad lighting.
Yeah.
I do remember singing at one of your dinner parties, Mom, when I was little. I sang, you guys were playing Trivial Pursuit, and I think I sang Edith Bunker's the theme to All in the Family. Do you remember
no,
this?
I remember.
Oh, it's one of my formative memories.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Just yeah. Out of nowhere? Were you somehow prompted? Was
I don't remember.
You're just like, I no just one's paying attention to me. So.
Mark never was shy. He had us really? Laughing when he was 3 years old. You know?
Oh, you know, I have a question I wanted to ask you. Do you have I would love it if you had a memory of a time when Mark was a child where he did something where you wanted to yell at him, but he said something so funny that you couldn't.
I don't remember him doing anything bad, but I remember him being, you know, because you could talk to him and he'd hear you. You know what I mean? Like,
it's different.
I just remember one time when where we lived, it was a straight, long, long block. And so all the kids were in and out of each other's houses and stuff. And Stephanie or something, you said something, Mark, really rude to Stephanie. And I told you to apologize and you wouldn't. You know, and so I made you go sit in a corner, and then I go, come on, kids, let's have ice cream and all that. I lost my Mother of the Year award that day, you know, and finally he goes, sorry. Yeah. Do you remember that? I hope not.
I remember, but I remember thinking like, I didn't do anything wrong. I don't remember what I said. I just remember thinking I was right.
Her belt and her shoes did not match. I just,
yeah, I know. No, but you were pretty easy to raise. Both, I got lucky with both my kids who were pretty easy to raise.
Thanks. You hear this, John?
I hear that.
It's a dream.
Well, Mark, Mark, you always made us laugh. I mean, but then I grew up laughing. Like, his grandpa was so funny. Uh-huh. And so I think it's in the genes. Mm-hmm. Or we think we're funny. Maybe nobody else does, but
plenty of people think Mark is funny.
So what do you want to give this for pearl clutching?
Probably a low number.
I just think How Do You Solve a Problem Like Maria is like pretty.
Yeah, it's like a number about being scandalized. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, about Maria. But that's pretty good, a whole song about it.
That's true.
Yeah.
So they then sing at her wedding.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay, I'll say a 3. I was going to say a 2, but I'll say a 3.
3. You see where I get the tough scoring from, John.
I do. It all makes sense. I'll give it a four.
A four. I'll give it a four. Sure. Giving it a 3.67, which is 3 points lower than I, Tonya. All right. Our next category, quips. How quippy is Sound of Music? A lot of funny one-liners. There is the I Have Sinned moment where the nuns reveal the
hearts. I think there's a couple. I think actually Captain has a few. Like at one point early on where he's talking with Marie, he says, "You are obviously many things, not the least of which is repetitious." So that was a little shady. And then when he's first talking with that one guy at the party who tends to be the Nazi, and I forget what that guy says to him, and he says, and in response, he says, "Oh, how clumsy of me. I meant to accuse you."
There you go.
And then also the Baroness says at one point, like, "I'm sure you'll make a very fine nun." That's a little shady.
Yeah.
Rude.
Yeah.
So there's definitely some stuff going on.
Some quips. Is this like the funniest show on Broadway?
No,
probably not.
It's not.
I would hope not. That's a rough year on Broadway.
Slow year on Broadway. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's some cute moments. So what would you give her quips?
For cute, like I'll give a four.
A four.
These numbers are so random.
That's all right. This is what I spend about 4 hours a week doing, Mom. Isn't that interesting?
Oh, sorry.
No, it's fine.
I will,
if you had taught him to sew,
back,
he wouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
How come you're not going to invite me back?
Yeah. I'll give it a three. Sure. Three.
That's
give
a
it an average of three. Sure. All right. Now we are into the iconic categories.
So these categories, we're going back to scoring from 0 to 100. And these categories are sort of bigger, broader sort of umbrella categories. There's just a couple of them. You'll see.
Okay.
All right. So the first one, how would you rate the Sound of Music in homoeroticism? Is there any homoeroticism where you think those two guys are going to do it? I would say not a lot. Just as Sophia, it's Sister Berta who makes her kiss the floor whenever they have a disagreement. And also, Sophia says, when I'm with her, I'm confused and don't know who I am.
Out of focus and
which.
And she never knows exactly
crushing?
Who I am.
Hashtag crushing. Hashtag crush alert.
Okay. All right. We're stretching.
And then,
okay.
We're stretching here. I mean, this is how to music, for God's sake. And then it's just the Baroness of Maria when Maria's changing. That's just a very showgirls, Crystal Connors, Nomi Malone energy. I'm not saying this is 90. This is not as charged. But for the Sound of Music, if you had to pick a Nomi and Crystal Connors moment in Sound of Music, it would be that one.
Sure. Someone put a gun to your head and said, make the parallels between Sound of Music and Showgirls. You go, yes. John, put that gun away.
John, I have it. I'm ready. But not a lot of homoeroticism in this movie. This is not In and Out.
No.
Oh, that's another great movie. I love that movie. I own it.
High praise. You own Sister Act? You own that? You own Fargo, I think?
Yeah, I love Fargo.
That's great.
Mamma Mia?
Oh, Mamma Mia. Yeah, I saw that in San Francisco and brought your dad and I on the theater.
Oh,
it was. I could have sat through it twice. It was wonderful.
It's fun.
I love ABBA.
So what do you want to give the Sound of Music for homoeroticism on a scale of 0 to 100?
I'm going to put zero. Zero. Yeah.
Woo-hoo. I was going to say zero, but Mark, after that little thing you said, I'll give it a three.
Wow. I moved the needle.
Yep.
That's what I call John, the needle. I'm going to give it a six. I'm being very generous for some reason. Give it an average of three. All right, next category. Over the top wardrobe. Were there any like clothes where you thought this is too crazy? But you'll love it.
I thought the scene where when the captain comes in and interrupts him singing My Favorite Things and like he's ready for bed, he has a tie on. He has like his nighttime bed tie. And I was like, that's silly. That seems unnecessary, especially since he's going to bed alone.
Well, even like what was sportswear in the 30s in Austria? You know, it was literally sportswear. It was like, well, I'm going sporting. It's not like they didn't have shorts and t-shirts.
Mm. Yeah, but you don't have to then go to tie just because you
don't
have
loungewear?
I mean, it was probably all military for him. Yeah.
Wool. everything the Baroness wears is pretty over the top.
Yeah, her stuff with bows, the ruffled necks again for the nuns, that's very over the top.
The pill top hat she wore, that little weird hat in the car.
Mm-hmm. Well, she always wore it all matched too, you know.
Well, sure. Yeah.
And the scarf. Yeah.
She's a Baroness. People got to know.
Yeah, you got to know.
She was everything Maria wasn't. Also, Maria's wedding dress.
That's true. A 14-foot 14-foot veil train is a lot.
And she just beamed down.
I thought that was over the top. Yeah.
Yep. Also, nuns are over the top, right? Like, this is too much. What are you doing? We get it. You like it?
It's like all black. Yeah.
No, but the fact you're wearing a hoodie, like this habit, like a whole gown and this elaborate hoodie in the 1930s, like, we get it. You're a nun. Why are you wearing special clothes?
Are you working backstage somewhere with your all black?
Yeah, you're moving around blocks in between scenes during the mass scene change. Masses need more scene changes. Yeah, so what do you want to give this for over the top wardrobe?
Maybe a 4
out of 100,
out of 0 to 100.
Oh, out of 100,
yeah,
40.
There you go. See how that works. Mass checks out.
I'll give it a 55.
I'll give it 60. I think we're letting nuns off easy. They look weird. It's a big choice. All right. This is the last of the iconic categories. Camp factor. How campy is the Sound of Music?
I mean, you got bitchy nuns, which I think is always pretty campy.
Sure.
Always. Every time I see them.
Always. Campy.
And all the kids seem to be really good and, you know, perfect.
Little,
you know,
two.
And that's not real. When you have 7.
Yeah. Right.
It's gonna be 1.
I could do my list. Should I do my list now?
Let's hear that list.
I got a quick list of campy things I know. Maybe this will help you with your score, but I don't want to influence your score at all in any way whatsoever. But here's a quick list of campy things I noticed. You know it's going to be good when the opening credits lists puppeteers rolling your eyes when holding your hands in prayer, a giant fountain in the center of town that depicts a horse drowning, being very condescending to a teen girl because you're a whole year older, sprinting inside a gazebo with your Nazi boyfriend, getting a kiss and going, wee, praying for children you just met. Law, a note to follow, so it's kind of phoning it in, forgetting your children love you, missing a cue in a puppet show, offering to help your romantic companion become a nun, saying who's hot and who's not at a waltz. Based on the elaborate production number, an Austrian goodbye is almost the exact opposite of the Irish goodbye. Pink lemonade, climb every mountain. The Baroness says, you don't break up with me, I break up with you. Uncle Max's half-hearted Heil Hitler. Is Do Re Mi the best song ever written about tea with jam and bread? Using a singing competition to flee your country. The action sequin orchestral remix of My Favorite Things. And finally, it joins the Lord of the Rings in the great canon of movies with lingering shots of people climbing mountains. So I think it's fairly campy.
Fairly campy.
Things in here. But it's also like good. So it's like, you know what I mean? So it's like,
right.
The funny stuff is funny. And it also looks, so it's not a lot of the unintentional humor in this.
Is this 1 out of 100?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
0 to 100.
I would probably put like 65.
Yeah, I think those puppets, the bitchy nuns, I think even just like doing a number at a party, like all your kids doing a number at a party, there's some sort of camp fun stuff there.
Absolutely.
I'll go 65 as well.
65. You know what? I'm going to go 65.
We did it.
Giving an average of 65. All right. Finally, we're into the crown jewels.
So these categories, we don't rate them. We all agree either it gets it or it doesn't. So it's like a yes or no that we all agree on.
All right. So the first one, Sound of Music, a 15% bonus for positive portrayals of homosexuality. I would say no, just because it has Uncle Max and he's a bit wishy-washy in his anti-Nazi stance.
Well, I think I think just because he never comes out and says he's, like, I think if there's
look at how the captain reacts to him. It's like, no, we can't be in the middle of the round. Like, well, at least no one got killed during the annexation. Mm-hmm. Like, no, this is not okay, Uncle Max.
Right. I think his thinking is probably like, look, I don't need any more heat on me. So if I just sort of like go along to get along, you know, that's my guess, even though you would think that he would be more staunchly against it for that reason. But I think that's probably accounts.
I mean, that's how the rise of Nazi Germany, because everybody said like, well, I'll just go along to get along. I don't want to rock the boat.
I don't disagree with you.
So Uncle Max, blood is on your hands. All right. So it does not get the bonus. And finally, negative 50% of all the points if this is the movie Boat Trip.
This is not the movie Boat Trip, so it will not lose 50% of its points.
All right, that's it. We're done.
Yay!
So we have now that we've gone through all the categories, do you still think Sound of Music has scored pretty low?
I hope not.
All right.
I'd have to be scored high, yeah.
Well, Mark, how'd
we
do?
I think it did well.
All right, I will tell you exactly how it did. Out of a total possible 2,361.20, The Sound of Music has scored 1,364.53, giving it a percentage of 57.79, making it the 51st gayest movie ever. Not as gay as Scott Pilgrim versus the World, but gayer than Waiting for Guffman.
Huh.
So, okay. All right. For a movie with no homoeroticism or, you know, I think that's sort of... that's okay. It did
wrong.
Pretty well.
Yeah.
It's not wrong.
It's a keeper.
It's a keeper.
No one's kicking it out of bed for eating crackers.
No.
Well, that's it, Mom. You did your first podcast.
Congratulations. You were wonderful.
Oh, thank you. Then you can edit out all what you want. Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Where was your mom? Yeah, your mom was on.
I just heard Siri the whole time. Mom, is there anything you'd like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time? Like possibly your website?
Yeah. Whatever. Tell us about your book.
Yeah. Tell us about it.
I started writing poetry when I was a freshman in high school. It was an English class and they told you to write a poem and I had no idea. So I asked my dad, how do you write a poem? And he goes, just rhyme the second and fourth word. So I was my readers. It was my like Hallmark card years. You know, I would do birthday cards and make them funny, you know, and things that. And I wrote about goofy stuff just more for fun. And then graduating and with a social worker, and I worked for 13 years in an emergency room, and I just loved it. But I heard so many amazing things that just touched your heart. And I've done now hospice for about 18 years, and that helps me process what I'm experiencing. And I feel like I'm a storyteller, but it comes out in the form of a poem, because now I had a friend die of breast cancer in 1997, and 2 months after Lady Di died, she died of breast cancer, and I started writing more like personal and experiences. And so I write a narrative with the poem to kind of give an idea, but when it's about patients and things with most of them, I change like their age, the diagnosis, how many kids. So I'm not breaching confidentiality. And I published a book called From the Heart that you can get on Amazon, but I have this blog that I've done since 2009, and I add a poem every weekend. And I feel these stories just so need to be told, and they're amazing. And I feel like if you read one and you take it on its journey, I don't own them. So, and that's the one that's www.hospicefromtheheart.blogspot.com. And I encourage everybody to log on and read them. And I'm so moved and touched. And I've retired. I was spiritually led to where I work now, hospice in Davis, but I'm retired from Kaiser, but I never retired. I was spiritually led. And even when I walked into the place for the interview, I wasn't even looking for a job. And 2 hours later, they offered me the job and I said, yes. So I feel like it's my retirement job. And when it becomes work, I'll quit. And it's a lifelong passion. And so, you know, these stories just need to be told because they're amazing. I experience so many amazing things and meet so many wonderful people. And I write it out because it helps me process it too.
Oh, so. That's lovely.
But you still don't dress as the Grim Reaper when you go visit these patients for Halloween.
No, I have not. But let me tell you, I bet you 95% of people we meet use humor to cope. But like, I don't go in and say, did you hear about the rabbi, the priest? And, you know, but, you know, but a lot of people. And then if they're twisted and perverted, like I grew up and Mark's grown up, you know, in a good way. If people
Thank
are that
you.
Way, they
perverted, perverted in a good way. Yeah. My
good
next
way.
One man show.
But they'll start where I'll start laughing so hard. And I'm supposed to be professional here and tears are running because you're laughing. And as hospice employees, we use a lot of humor to cope too. It helps
right,
you
of
get
course.
Up the next day and do this. So, you know, I just feel so blessed. I found my passion, like where Mark, you found your passion too. And that just you know, makes me, it's wonderful because my kids are both doing great and we have fun. So
we do have fun.
That's lovely. Yeah.
And you tell your stories beautifully, I should say. Everybody loves them. And she's been published quite a few times in papers and spoken at conferences and whatnot.
That's
so
cool.
Check out the website. We got it in the show
yes,
notes.
Yes, we'll be on the
Give
show notes.
Some clicks.
Check those out.
Well, this was all fun. Right. You guys are wonderful. You can tell how naive I am with movies, but
you were great. You were absolutely delightful guest. Such a treat to have you.
Next time
on.
We'll have you on to talk about an episode of Criminal Minds or something like that.
Murder, but in a good way.
There you go.
Sure, good murder.
That's your podcast. All okay. Right. Once again, and
we'll be right back. We're back. Oh, your mom was such a delight.
She's the best. Drew, an angel. That's all I can say.
100%. So much fun. This whole mom series was really fun to do.
It was fun. We love having moms on.
Moms are great.
Did you have fun with your mom? Were you nervous?
Not really. Were you? Did you feel nervous?
I was a little because I wanted to do like a good job and I was more nervous. Like, oh, I hope she's like relaxed. She's like barely knows what a podcast is.
Right. Yeah. My mom and my aunt were the same thing. Where
she wants me to like burn a CD with the podcast on it so she can have it. And, like, and I think we've already had it. She already has subscribed on the app on her phone.
Right. But she doesn't know how to like get to it or doesn't think to do it.
Yeah. Or it's buried behind, you know, a lot of like solitaire games or something.
It's on the last page and she's got so many pages on her phone.
So many pages. No, but she's best. And it was so fun to bring her into our world.
Indeed. Indeed it was.
And she's so funny. I'm glad people got to hear that.
She's very funny. Unsurprising given her offspring.
My brother is funny.
Well, maybe we'll have him on someday.
Day?
Is there a brother? There's siblings day.
Who cares? Yeah. What does that mean? You know what I mean?
I don't know. But you know, it does mean something. 100 episodes.
Ugh, has it been that many?
It's about to be. Isn't that exciting?
That is exciting. It's going to come up quick.
When we weren't looking, it just sort of was there.
All of a sudden, it's 100. We're 100.
Yeah, so as all of you wonderful listeners know, we're coming up on our 100th episode, and we had an essay contest, which so many of you submitted to. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
it was so much fun.
Dozens and dozens.
Yes, it was really surprising. We were worried that we'd get maybe two, but we've got many more than that.
It was like being on a scholarship committee.
And we wish we could give scholarships to everybody.
But we simply can't.
Unfortunately, that's not how
we had to make a decision, and it was not easy. There were like
so many great choices, essays, great suggestions.
Some people did like PowerPoints. There was like graphics. It was incredible.
Everyone, many great stuff.
I was blown away.
Yes. And the movie
but
that
we had
chose,
to choose.
We had to choose. And the one we chose was a classic, truly one that actually many people submitted this movie. The movie, of course, is The Wizard of Oz. Heard of it? Do you know it? If you're listening to this podcast and you have not watched The Wizard of Oz, I don't know what is going on. But yes, as we said, we had a couple people submit this one. One was from listener Liam Garvin, who did a wonderful PowerPoint presentation, very compelling submission.
What's up, Queens? This is Liam Garvin calling in from sunny Washington, D.C., and I think your 100th episode should definitely be The Wizard of Oz, an iconic movie above all other iconic movies, still pervasive in pop culture, and it would do so well in so many categories. We got Judy Garland in her most iconic role. Basically, every other character actress is making a big swing, especially Margaret Hamilton, knocking it out of the fucking park. Incredibly witchy. Very obvious musical potential. Drag queen inspiration and over-the-top wardrobe despair. Surprisingly macabre, Dorothy straight-up murdering witches. Nothing really outwardly homoerotic or gay, so it's not going to be Female Trouble, but for a kids' movie pre-World War II, that's pretty good.
Also, we had one from David Strugar, another great essay, great submission.
Hello! The Wizard of Oz has stood the test of time for over 80 years as a foundational queer text. It's the gayest of the gay. Is it camp? A dancing scarecrow? A singing lion? Musical numbers on technicolor backdrops? Flying monkeys in vests? Little people with flowers in their hats? A witch fighting a girl over a sparkly pair of shoes? It practically defines the word. Does it come with over-the-top wardrobe? Try making an entrance in a magic bubble while wearing a tall tiara, a glittering gown, and wielding a wand. Is there homoeroticism? The movie gives us catty gay energy amongst Dorothy's friends and a compelling touch of femme-butch sexual tension between Glinda and the Wicked Witch. And it's all led by one of our canonic gay icons, the legendary, the bisexual, the multi-talented Judy Garland.
Very compelling cases.
Yes, our guest next week is going to be Billy Fettweiss. We will let his argument speak for itself in next week's episode.
Yeah. He makes a compelling, a tough argument that The Wizard of Oz is pretty gay.
Yes.
So we'll see.
Could do well. Who knows? We don't know.
Could
it be a musical?
Yeah.
Jury's out.
Jury is out. But yeah, but that'll be fun. And thank you for coming along this journey with this, our own yellow brick road,
That's
as
true,
it were.
Following it along with us.
Yellow cast road? I don't know.
It's okay. Sorry, it's been a long night.
I'm spitballing. I just saw my mother, and you know, haven't seen her in over a year. So.
Right? You got to get Nita therapy. But yeah, so thank you for listening. If you have any thoughts or questions or things you want to let us know, you can email us at twooldqueens@gmail.com.
Or you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram @twooldqueens, @twooldqueens. Follow me on Letterboxd, where I maintain the current movie rankings.
Yes. And if you have a moment, if you could go over to iTunes and rate and review the podcast, it really helps raise our profile and sort of beat that algorithm and help other people find the show. And so we really appreciate you guys taking the time to do that. Also, we have merch. If you go to TeePublic and search for Two Old Queens, there's a lot of great fun stuff you can buy there, help support the podcast. And also a percentage of the proceeds go to the Okra Project. So you're not just helping the podcast out, you're helping real people out. And that's a really wonderful thing to do. And finally, we also have a Patreon. If you go to Patreon and search for Two Old Queens, the retirement plan, you get more episodes, another episode from us every week for just $5 a month. And right now we're going through all the Spider-Man movies to see which one's the gayest. So join us as we swing through that journey. And I believe that is it.
I think that's it for us today. We'll see you next time on the most momentous episode of
Indeed.
Two Old Queens ever.
We 100.
We'll see you next time. Stay safe, everybody.
Goodbye. Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Conrad Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Archer and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
Goodbye. We didn't get that right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.